We continue this morning with the second half of God's message to the people living in Jerusalem. Through the prophet Haggai. On the 21st of the seventh month, now I'm going to stop right there and explain that their calendar is a little different than ours, but what the important part about that 21st day of the seventh month is that that is the last day of the Feast of Booths. And the Feast of Booths is where the Israelites celebrated the harvest. And we know that from what it said earlier in the first chapter, that the people have been planting a lot but harvesting little, that the people have been doing much work but their purses have been as if they've had holes in them. And God has basically said that all of the surplus that you think that you should have, I have taken away from you. And so now on this last day of the celebration of the harvest, they're hearing this message from Haggai, the message of God. So on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Now, you realize right there, God has everything covered, okay? Speak to the government, speak to the temple, and speak to all the people, okay? So the government leaders, the leader of the nation of Israel, and the high priest, and then directly to the people. Speak to them saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. On the 24th of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold, or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered, No. Then Haggai said, If one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered, It will become unclean. And Haggai said, So is this people. And so is this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now, do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would only be 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would only be 20. I smote you. And every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is the seed still in the barn? even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders will go down, everyone by the sword of another. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. May God bless this reading of his holy word. When God chooses to bless Zerubbabel this way, it's easy for us to just think, okay, he's blessing Israel. But there's more than that going on. There's the curse of Jehoiakim that's traveling through this family of kings. And now God has blessed Zerubbabel and put him in the line of the Messiah. And if we look at the genealogies of Jesus, we see that Zerubbabel is blessed with this signet ring to be in the line between David and Jesus. And so God is already giving visions of what is going to happen when he talks about the former glory and the future glory that is to come. David in 1 Chronicles 28, when he committed the work of building the first temple to his son Solomon, said this, the word of the God to the people of God is to take courage and work. So be courageous and act. Those are the words of David in building that first temple. And now we hear God say through the prophet Haggai, take courage and work. The people are becoming discouraged, for some of them remember the past glory of the temple. We see evidence of this even 16 years earlier when the foundation was laid soon after the people returned to Jerusalem. In Ezra, we learn that the priests who remembered the previous temple wept at the laying of the foundation because they saw that it wasn't going to be the same. It makes me wonder, was this discouragement part of the reason that the people had turned to rebuilding their own homes? Fancy homes at that. What makes us feel better than anything, right? Go shopping. Build a fancy house. Get over your disappointment that the temple of the Lord is not filled with the same glory that it once promised. And so they're rebuilding their own lives, their own homes, instead of rebuilding the Lord's house. Were they so focused on past glory that anything didn't compare seemed like a waste of time? So God gives them this encouragement. Take courage and work, for my spirit is with you. This temple may never compare to the glory of the old place of worship, but the future glory that I will bring will be even greater than anything you have seen in the past. God knows that the way the people will get back on track is through the power of His Spirit. And so he says, my spirit abides in you. Be courageous, do this work, and my glory will shine again like it has never been known before. You see, we can do nothing on our own. In fact, it is trying to do things on our own where we often create the very struggles we face. See, it might be helpful here to remember what got the people of Israel in this predicament in the first place. What led to the destruction of this past glorious temple in the first place? It's easy to look at the fact that an enemy came and destroyed Jerusalem, and thus the temple is destroyed. But when we look at this from a biblical perspective, from the story of God, we find that the reason the enemy was able to come was because they had turned away from God and begun to do things their own way. And one of the things that they began to do their own way was, rather than trusting in God for their security, they began to make alliances with other nations, even when God told them not to do it. And when one of those nations, Egypt, had to flee from the Babylonians because the Babylonians routed them, they were no longer there to have Israel's back. And that's what Israel was counting on. See, Israel was counting on Egypt, not on God. The people have forgotten that it was their own choices that led to the destruction of this past glory. Sometimes we forget, when we look back and see where our lives have gotten off track, that it often started with our turning away from God. You know, God never runs away from us. We run away from God. We want something in our life that God tells us will not work out well for us, but we want it anyway, and so we go after it, doing whatever we can to make it happen. And then we wonder down the road why our life got out of whack, why God seems so far away. And we say, God has abandoned us. But who took the fork in the road? God or the people? Now God has rescued his people and desires that they would once again turn completely to him, turn all their devotion to him, turn all their work toward him, so that he can show them the extent of his glory. But they're so focused on the past glory that they have become discouraged. And their discouragement has spread even to those that never saw the old temple, those that never even saw the old glory. And God is saying, if you can take your eyes off the past, I will show you something that you have never imagined. And he says, remember, all of this stuff, everything in the world, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. I can shake the foundations of anything on earth. I can do with all of it as I choose. And if I wish to make it a glorious testimony to my glory, that is mine to do. That's what God is saying. It is yours to take courage and go to work doing what I ask you to do. And so Haggai brings a final warning from God, talking about holiness and sin. And he asked the priests, if you put the consecrated sacrifice in your garment, and your garment touches anything, does it make it holy? And the priest said, no. The law says that that doesn't make it holy. He says, okay, but what if someone touches someone who's dead and becomes unclean, and now they touch any of the things that you tried to make holy by touching your garment to them? Will it make those things defiled? And the priest says, yes, it will. And right there we discover that holiness can only be imparted by God. We cannot impart holiness, but we sure can spread sin. It's a lot easier for sin to spread than it is for holiness to spread. You see, the only way that we are imparted with holiness is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's an individual being reconciled to God. I can't make my children holy. Jesus can make them holy. If I have a relationship with Jesus, God has declared me righteous. But I can't touch this pew and make it righteous. Only God can do that. But if I teach you to sin, that can spread like wildfire. And what Haggai's telling the people is, when you've been focused on your own stuff and not focused on God's stuff, the sin that's in your life defiles the offerings that you bring. It defiles the work that you do. And that is why when you go to find grain, you only find half as much there as what you thought should be there. It's why we very quickly discover that just showing up at church doesn't make us holy. But it also shows how sin can run through a church like wildfire. Haggai is warning the people, as you do this work, the first thing that needs to be purified is your own hearts, so that your worship and your work, your service, your devotion, your offerings, all of those things don't end up defiled because of the sin in your own hearts. You know, it seems like Haggai's making it a lot harder on everybody, but he's actually not saying anything that Jesus doesn't later say. You know, we think, well, you know, we're not bound by the law, right? Jesus says, think again. Don't murder? Yeah, don't even be angry. For if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. If you even have lust in your eye, you're guilty of adultery. See, Haggai is saying that all of that stuff starts right here. Jude in the New Testament says this to remind us of how easily sin is transferred and how difficult it is for holiness. When he's talking about reaching out to those, he says, have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. See, we think, oh, that consecrated sacrifice in the garment, right? It can't impart holiness from the sacrifice to anything else. But that garment can be used to transfer sin. Jude is warning us of the dangers of how this world can just infect everything. And because sin is so contagious, we have to remember that our own sin can defile the very work we do for Jesus. Our own sin can defile the offering we bring to the Lord. So you might ask, we start off this second chapter with all this encouragement, right? The people have begun to work on the temple again. Haggai is bringing an encouragement from the Lord, and then he basically just stops and smacks them about sin and holiness. Why is the Lord bringing this up right in the middle of all this encouragement to the people about seeing this future glory? So they won't again go astray and turn to their own ways. That's what got them in all this mess in the first place. It's what got them into captivity. So often I think we see the prophets as just coming along and dinging us. You get what I mean by that? You know, just smacking us upside the head, and we're just like, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. I'm not hearing you, I'm not hearing you, I'm not hearing you. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how much God loves me. Yes, they bring correction, but not because they enjoy it. I think sometimes we think that they just really like beating us up. They don't enjoy bringing this correction for any other reason than that bringing the correction hopefully brings us closer to God, and that brings them great joy. See, they don't do it for any other reason that other than because God is wanting to restore his people. God wants his people to live into all of his promises. But he knows that we do stuff that messes that all up. He takes no joy in bashing us, and that is not what he's doing. We like to think of it that way so we can avoid listening to what he's telling us. But God is wanting us to live into the fullness of his joy, into the fullness of his blessing. He knows exactly how he designed the world to work. And when we work at odds with that, we struggle. When we work in accordance with that, we find peace and joy and purpose, and we see his glory. The Bible tells us that God disciplines those he loves. Boy, bring it on. You realize the counter to that? He doesn't discipline those that he doesn't love. If you're getting disciplined, he loves you. He brings these corrections to our lives just like he brought them to his people Israel, so that they and we will live into the fullness of his joy. So if you're hearing correction today, can I ask you to consider this, to accept it as a gift of love from God. Accept God's correction as a gift of love from God. And let us all take courage. Take courage and do the work that He has called us to do, empowered by His Spirit for His glory to be revealed. There's a lot of congregations today that are going through the same things that the people of Israel were going through in Jerusalem. It's easy to look back on our past glory and think about how good it was. But if we are able to look forward into the glory that God desires to reveal, we will be able to see a glory that surpasses any past glory that any congregation has ever experienced. That is our call. Doesn't mean that looking back is a bad thing, but we can't look back and hold on, because that doesn't get us any place. We live into the future glory that God desires to reveal, that is greater than any glory any of us have ever seen before. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we hear Your promise to the people living in Jerusalem at the time of Haggai and Zechariah, we see that promise before us as well. To draw near to You. To focus intently our whole lives of being courageous and working for You. And we thank You, Lord, for that reminder. We thank You for showing us that we are not alone. That as we seek to live into Your will, into Your call, into Your plans, that Your Spirit abides in us. Lord, help us know what is ours to do, and to release ourselves from the bondage of seeking to do what is Yours to do. For You will shake the earth. You will shatter the spear. You will break the bow. You will speak, and the earth will melt. Lord, we long to see Your glory in all of its splendor. We long to know You more and to live for You. Help us each day to live into that promise and that future. In Jesus' name, amen.